Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Now, this is the bit where Royfield will edit in the Dumpty Dum.
Thank you, Royfield.
Yes, thank you, Royfield, for editing in that Dumpty Dum. And this is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the womb with a view that is Robert Wilson, and with me I have the addled egg that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of the Brexit exit, folks, is you. I had to be very careful saying that. This week's Dumpty Dum is from whoever Royfield decides to put in, as we've already pointed out. Lucy, if someone wants to send us a Dumpty Dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction, or discover a store of cider that apparently never, ever runs out, then call us on 0203 031 3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek, as always, for the loan in the back bedroom. We've not seen Derek all week, as he's been playing with his new sex robot. He couldn't afford one of the really amazing, realistic Japanese ones, so he just put a wig on Alexa.
Oh, my God. You can't clean that mesh on the front very easily. As far as I'm... Not that I would know, obviously.
You've been talking to Derek, haven't you?
Yeah, and be careful you don't bruise your pubis on it. That's all I can say. On this week's episode, we hear
You've got
views
a bruise
from...
piss now, haven't you?
Oh.
A bruise.
Oh, God, me and my big bloody mouth. This week's episode, we hear views from Jenny Darling, who's hearing classic Kate. Vicky Cole, who's gone right off Brian, haven't we all? Jane, who's lording it over Lucy. That's just not right. And Mrs. Yewtree, who staggered at Kefir. But first, let's brace ourselves for Lucy V. Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
What do you get the man who has everything? Well, Brian wants a new agronomist, for starters. He wants to use a new company called Hardy's. Well, I haven't heard of them, said Jennifer. Oh, Jenny, darling, really? You research agronomists in the Borchester area, do you, in between staring at Bowden ironing board covers in Underwoods? Anyway, guess what? Adam doesn't like the new agronomists. Well, there's a shock. I'm not going to roll over and let you do it, he said to Brian with his usual throbbing intensity. I've been doing that with Ian for months now and I'm still not pregnant. And what do you get the woman who has everything? Goat clippers. Pat tried valiantly to pretend she was actually going to use them on the goats rather than on her bikini line and Tony's nasal hair. Not in that order, ideally. On a happier note, Brian has had his photo from Cravats Today enlarged and wants to put it up somewhere. Adam's got a few ideas. Although Brian later described Adam's propaganda as being green and flaky. Where's Dr. Locke when you need him? Actually, where is Dr. Locke? Trapped on the wheel arch of the car that flattened Maddened? Why don't you tell your grandma about the Toblerone? Said Pip to Ruth. Tell her that... No, said Ruth to Pip. Tell her that you're up the clanger by the man she hates more than anyone else on the entire planet. Go on, do it just before dinner so we can all watch her head swivel round like the girl in The Exorcist. It'll be fun! Anyway, Jill was delighted. She screamed and ran away, then had a chat with the world's most unlikely champion of the unmarried mother, Peggy, and came back all sweetness and light. Peggy said, Do you remember when Jennifer got up the clanger and I didn't even know who the father was as she spent more time in hedges than Will Grundy's dog? And that turned out all right, didn't it? I mean, I ended up with Adam as a grandson, so from that respect, things could have gone better, but you know. So Jill returned to Brooker's and couldn't have been happier unless Pip had stoved her head in with a pickaxe. Then, ever anxious to be in at the kill, Helen popped in on Pip. Now, at this point, dear listener, I was having to breathe extremely slowly and deliberately to avoid going entirely berserk, throwing my radio through the window and jumping on the bits. And why? Because of the following scene. Helen, fluting to Pip when she asked how on earth she was going to keep working with a child. Well, if I can do it, so can you. What bloody planet are these people on? What bloody planet are the scriptwriters on? More to the point. If any of the working mothers I know had been working within a family business with a keen grandmother half a mile up the road, able to take as much maternity leave as they liked without having to have a sleepless night every time the child was ill, wondering how they were going to break it to their employer that, yes, they're sorry, but they're not going to be in again, and then suffer the subsequent lack of promotion, etc., they would have been on cloud sodding nine. To hear Helen talk, you'd think she'd raised Henry out in the paddy fields with him strapped to her back. And Pip knows perfectly well she'll have an army of relatives, including Hootie, just desperate to look after the Toblerone. And even if everyone was busy, she can afford childcare. So let's stop this oh brave little me bit, shall we? Thank you. I'm sorry, everyone, but I needed to say that. David went to the Bull for a contemplative pint, which was ruined by Kenton, who couldn't wait to have a riot taking the piss out of Grandad Dave. David then trundled off in what sounded like a clown car to go and see Toby at Hollowtree to talk about his triangular chocolate offspring. Don't go in there with a gun in your hand, said Ruth, so he went in there waving his willy about instead and shouting, Get off my land and my daughter. Lexi made stew and bonitza for Roy, but all he wanted to talk about was eggs. Fried, scrambled, or incubated in my womb? Asked Lexi. Roy handled it in his customary mature fashion by throwing his toys all over Gay Grables. Basically, he said to Ian, Look, you stick to your bum sex and leave my girlfriend's bits and pieces alone, cause they're mine. Roy Tucker, hashtag me too. Anyway, much to Roy's alarm, it looks like Lexi might actually be contemplating Airbnb-ing her uterus. Thank God for the end of the kefir. It came, it kefired, it completely failed to conquer, and it's completely sodded off again. Unless they're going to try goat kefir, with or without pube trimmings. The end.
God. Oh, dear. Well, what a way to start my new year on Junkie Dump. How many mentions of anal sex were there in that?
Loads. That's what I mean. I couldn't think of anything at all, really, to put for my funny name thing on the what's it. Oh, dear.
Oh, God, I am so annoyed by the arch. Everyone seems to be really peed off.
I know. Even Kerry Warbis, long-term listener, is saying, that's it, I've had enough, I can't stand it anymore.
And everyone thought the Robin Helen story was annoying. But
yeah.
But little Toblerone, and then there's the Lexi, Roy, and can you have a love quadrangle? Well, it's always worth a try, I suppose, isn't it? With Adam and Ian. And And are we going to have to, obviously we don't have to, but are we going to have to spend the next 9 months plus going on about babies and then the next 3 or 4 years going on about it?
Yeah. I know. Can I also say...
I hope Rob comes back and abducts the fucking lot of them.
Kills them all!
Can
I just say, I noted a few... Now, I don't normally do this because, by and large, I think the writing on The Archers is cracking. Mm. But there have been, in the last week, some bits that just actually made me cringe. They made my stomach go funny.
Yeah.
And it's not because I write stuff. It is because it's not in character. Mm. It doesn't match up. And I noted some of them down. I was listening today.
Okay, go on.
For a start, Pip said to Helen... Oh, shit, no, Pip said about Helen to Ruth, oh, she's so in tune with me. Now, that is the most un... This is a 24-year-old farmer's daughter.
Yeah.
Who also has expressed no interest at all in having a child or anything, but we'll leave that glaring plot shithole to one side.
Yeah.
But it just sounded so wrong. It was like a klaxon going off.
Yeah, and they come
That's
from...
the kind of thing Kate would say, not Pip would say.
Yeah, and they come from opposing ethoses about agriculture as well, really, don't they?
Yep. Then we had Helen saying to Ruth, you can do this, which is a kind of one of those things that they say on American chat shows, which is also completely on Helen. And then Pip said to David, let me tell you where my head is.
Yeah.
Again, unless she's been watching, you know, what's that Judge Judy or one of those bloody confessional American shows where, you know, Cameron Diaz comes on and talks about steaming her fanny or something. That's where they tell you, I tell you where my head is. I'm in a really good place at the moment. You know, it's all that rubbish. They don't talk like that. Why have they started doing it in the last week?
I don't know.
It really, really feels as if we are treading water like mad. And we shouldn't be, considering the amount of massive storylines there are going on. It's like it's become all about the storyline and not about how the characters are dealing with it at all.
Mm. Because I remember fallow periods, so to speak, in The Archers, where, you know, there wasn't a big, juicy plot line going on, but it was just about the
people.
Way people handled it and the way they spoke to each other. And there isn't much of that, is there? It's...
No. I mean, the only saving grace for this week was that Shula was in Norway. That was it.
Oh, God. But we can't have two babies, can we?
Well, apparently we can.
You think? Oh, fuck.
I mean, I'm not even sure.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have friends who have adopted a baby in utero. They're based in LA.
Yeah.
And the rules are slightly or very different there, but you're not allowed to pay the woman as you are here. You pay expenses and everything, but the expenses are fairly whopping.
Yeah.
And the expenses in their case included buying her a house and a car.
Okay.
Now, but there were big, big rules about where she was allowed. She wasn't allowed to cross state lines when she was pregnant with what would be their child.
Yeah.
In case she did a runner. So how Lexi is proposing to go back to Bulgaria.
Yeah, with someone else's egg and
again,
someone else's semen.
And fly back in again with no job, because by then she won't have the job.
Mm.
You know, she'll fly back pregnant. And you're not. They get funny about you flying after a certain amount.
Can you imagine a Bulgarian, pregnant Bulgarian, trying to get back into Gatwick? Nigel Farage will be there at customs, shooing her
away, his hands with glee, and saying, "Oh no, it's all right. It's not my baby. It's for someone else." You know. Oh, that sounds terrific. Come in.
And the other thing about Lexi, she's had this job 2 or 3 months. Maybe I've mentioned this before. Why the hell did they give her the job if they knew she was staying for 2 or 3 months? This was just announced. We thought she was here for the duration.
No. I remember it being a short-term contract, but I can't remember why. Somebody's off for some reason. I don't remember what, though. It's not maternity leave, because that would have been another sodding baby, wouldn't it?
So someone was off. I thought someone resigned, and then they gave the job to that useless chap, whatever he was, who threw all his toys out of the pram.
Or maybe at the same time they're trying to recruit somebody long term. I don't know. But I know she. I remember her saying to Roy, I remember Roy and her discussing it and saying it will only be for a few months, but at least it'll mean we'll be together, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's engineered
to
keep her here just long enough to be inseminated.
Yeah. Oh, God. What sort of world are we living in?
I don't know, but I don't like it. I certainly
don't
like it. Oh, God. I bet all the calls are about this as well, aren't they? I hope the calls cheer me up. Usually the calls do cheer me up. And I note that we have some people who haven't called in for a while, especially my near neighbour who lives at the top end of Oxfordshire, so Mrs. Yew Tree. So I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of the calls, should we delve?
Yes, let's do. Let's have a little delve. Ferret.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who's first?
Jenny Darling.
All right, Jenny Darling.
Happy New Year, Dumpty Dummers. Jenny Darling here, just checking in to say I've just listened to Thursday's episode and Kate's outburst about Nolly was absolutely classic, Kate. I loved it. It's the writers are writing her so well at the moment. I had to go back and listen again. I agree, I perhaps judged Nolly Tando too quickly. She's totally got the measure of Kate and their relationship is just fantastic to listen to. And I think Kate's voice is becoming more and more Shambridge than Kate. but I absolutely loved Thursday's episode. Everything about it was fantastic. Hope you're all well. Speak to you soon.
Yeah, I am enjoying that. I hope that Nolly Tando stays on. They can't ship her back, can they? They've got to engineer some reason to keep her here.
Yeah.
Well, probably a prison sentence. for being implicated in drugs dealing. Who knows?
Oh, I don't know. She could probably get inseminated by somebody and just hang around and then we'll have more babies.
Oh, no! Not another one.
I think what I liked as well was Brian's just absolutely transparent, you know. Actually, I think you've done a really good job, Kate. And, and by the way, will you be on my side? And she's so gullible. It's like any little bit of approval. And she's like, oh, thanks, Dad.
Absolutely.
Yes, okay. Yes, I can completely see why you'd want me, you know.
I have my first note written with a Sharpie is Brian is a shit. Because I just thought, oh, my God. That is... Oh.
He really kind of... He's gone from... But actually, we need to play Vicky Cole now because she's got similar things to say.
OK, let's play Vicky. Oh, my mouse has died. Damn.
Come back, mousey.
Damn. Hang on there, folks. Oh, there we are. Oh, sorry about that, Vicky.
Hello to the whole Dumpty Dum team and Dumpty Dummers all around the world. Happy New Year to you all. Sorry I haven't called in for a while, but we had a lot of family visiting over Christmas and the New Year, but they've all gone now and I've caught up. So here we go. I have a couple of things to say. I can't quite work out where I stand on the Lexi surrogacy story. On one hand, what an amazing thing to do for people who are desperate to have a baby. I can't think of a greater, kinder gift. And there's some very interesting stuff on the forum. But on the other hand, it's going to become a very messy, complicated storyline and poor Roy... I don't know, and I have great reservations about Adam, particularly as a parent, but we'll see where that goes. But what I really wanted to say was, what have they done with Brian? He has turned into a complete smug git. I can't bear it. I used to like Brian. But ever since this Borsetshire Businessman of the Year bollocks, he's now just smug and showing off, aided and abetted by Jenny. All that buying of extra copies of the newspaper for members of the family who might not possibly have seen it, and the framing of the photograph, and oh, did I tell you I've been voted Borsetshire Businessman of the Year? It's driving me mad. I hope there's a suitable come down, really. Maybe Justin will release the fact that he was chosen first and turned it down, or was that right? Something like that. Also, this business with the agronomist is annoying me. I don't really know what an agronomist is. But this is a bit childish between Brian and Adam, isn't it? So I've got all the votes. No, you've got all the votes. I've got the vote. All very childish. Surely they need to get the agronomist in to do a presentation to the whole family before they can make a decision. Anyway, that's my little rant. I will try and call in a bit more often now. Love to everyone. Bye.
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 Yeah, Brian's smugness has been really irritating. I mean, who gives a toss about Borsetshire Businessman of the Year? It's meaningless. But that's the kind of thing that would float his veritable boat, I suppose.
But you know, I have a soft spot for Brian.
I do too.
About the size of the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, I do too. Which is why I'm so disappointed.
But, yeah, the thing you always have to remember with Brian is that for a while now we've had lovely, funny, old, avuncular Brian, where he's just been teasing Lillian, teasing Kate, teasing Nolly, you know, sort of being gently sarcastic with Jenny, who's always too busy and thick to realise and all that sort of stuff. But He is a very aggressive businessman, yep. or he wouldn't be where he is now. He's also got an entire tribe of family completely dependent on him. And no one, all everyone ever does is moan at him. No one ever says, thanks, Dad, for the free house and for allowing me to, thanks, Brian, for letting me move in and out of your house willy-nilly every time my relationships crack up and, you know, fly me backwards and forwards from South Africa and blah, blah, blah. Jenny just uses him like a sort of a cash machine. And, you know, I think, so when he does win something, however pathetic it is, and I like the way it would, the alliteration of Borsetshire, was it?
Borsetshire Businessman Bollocks.
Borsetshire Businessman of the Year Bollocks. Was, you know, I think it does go to his head a little bit. You know, because he must sometimes think, if he was real, you know, what the hell am I doing all this for? You know, what's the point? I could be on a desert island somewhere, but no, I'm here because Adam needs someone to shout at and Kate needs someone to rant at and Jenny needs someone to pay her credit card bills and Lillian needs somewhere to live and a white wine fridge. And you know what I mean? It's sort of, and then he's got Debbie as well in Hungary. And it's sort of like this tribe of people. He's made himself the big silverback. And dominated everything. And now he's sort of a bit stuck, I think. And you have to also remember that just because he's sort of unchained himself from the lunatic in the last couple of years, he was a phenomenal shaggerer. And, you know, it's kind of not... And to be that level of shaggery does require a massive ego and a massive lot of other things. But I think that's probably why he's kind of, you know... at the sort of adopting his, you know, it's kind of, we've lost the avuncular Brian, but we've got the real, this is the real Brian, really. And everyone's going, oh, I don't like it. I like it when he was all cozy and funny. And then he was just like Jimus with money, really, wasn't he?
Yeah, but this has all been signposted, or we were given the route map, weren't we? After Rob and Helen, that's plot line. Yeah. Came to an end, and it was mentioned in the papers that the next thing they're going to concentrate on is a big division in Home Farm.
Yeah. Well, that was the inheritance. Mm. They said it's going to be an inheritance.
Well, that hasn't happened, though, has it?
Storyline. No, but Rory is not of age yet. Yeah. And he is also mute, currently voiced by Ruth. When he regains the power of speech... and emerges from his cocoon as a fully fledged grumpy 16-year-old. That's when that will all kick off, I think. I don't think we're far off that yet.
No, he must be what, 14?
Something like that, I think, okay. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. The agronomist thing was, I think she's quite right, is you don't just say, oh, let's change your agronomist. I mean, I don't know how much money you chuck in their general direction, but it must be... tens of thousands a year for a big operation like that.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, they say the Archers doesn't educate, but with them getting a new agronomist, I have looked at mine and thought that is looking a bit battered now and I really should get a new one. So I'm also going to invest because of
the Archers. Sadly, I don't have a field to plough, so I don't need an agronomy.
You've bruised your agronomist, haven't
bruised
you?
Yes, I very definitely have. Oh dear, yeah, I think I'm going to have to leave it fallow for a while. Goodness me! Well, trouble is stirring there.
Let it have a herbal lay.
Yes, oh, that's dear. The Christmas cold coming up.
Nurse, he's out of bed again. Should we go to? Yeah. Should we go to?
Yes,
Jane
before I pull
now.
My drip out.
Hi there, Jane here. Yeah. This is my second time of calling in. First time was back, I think, in October or November last year when I called in to say I had had an epiphany about the Ian and Adam baby. I said I predicted that Lexi was going to volunteer to carry that baby. Lucy, I think your exact reaction was, are you crazy? Certainly you thought I was barking up.
Sorry, Jane.
The wrong tree. So I just wanted to call in to say just very, very simply, I told you so. Not sure it's going to come to fruition. Not sure it's going to go all the way. There's obviously going to be a few obstacles. But I just wanted to say I called it. Bye.
Bye. I'm glad to see, Jane, that you're taking that with dignity and that you're not rubbing my nose in it at all.
There's a lot to be said for that level of magnanimity, isn't it?
Do you know, that's...
Oh, don't you start.
This is the second... I know. We sound like the end bed in a TB ward. This is the second time in a week that I've been somewhat startled by Dumpty Dum listeners, because yesterday, as you were involved in this shenanigans, I think, Robert, you were definitely. Yes, we headed up, as is often the case, by Auntie Jean, who was clearly a bit bored and decided to just stir up some shit on Twitter, decided to that as a cult, we should reenact The Crown, and she duly allotted parts to everybody.
I was rather pleased with mine.
And I think what did you end up being? Anthony Armstrong Jones. Oh, that's right, because you were going to be Mountbatten before you realised you'd get blown up in a boat, and then it sort of lost its appeal.
I think Reuthel wanted me to be a bloody butler. I can go swing.
But she said, what about Lucy? And about 58 people all tweeted at once, Princess Margaret, obviously. And I thought, oh, thank you. This is the most reviled character in the whole series. She's utterly, utterly snobbish and dreadful. And quite frankly, it's typecasting. So thank you very much.
And that would mean I'd have to marry you.
So. Oh, God. Back to those Dutch
women. Oh, crikey, yes. Well, yes, but does everyone out there know what The Crown is? Or who these people we're talking about are? But anyway, so I...
Yes, because Royfield did his little 20-minute diatribe with accompanying music about it last week.
Which is why I then took to the idea of, well, yes, I will watch The Crown. And do you know what? I watched all 20 episodes last week. My eyes are square, my arse is flat, and I now...
And you've got a bruised pubis.
I've got a bruised pubis, and I can't wait for series 3. And there's...
It's not a good programme unless you end up with a bruised pubis. Can we just say, in case Royfield chases this bit out, chucks this bit out, Robert has actually, he had a bike accident and has actually damaged his bits, namely his pubic bits. And they're all bruised and they're all bruised and funny on one side. But he declared that he doesn't need the left one, so it doesn't matter.
There's just swelling in the general area. Anyway.
Okay.
You didn't know I called it my general, did you?
That was a good thing.
But anyway. Oh, dear. Because he always stands to attention. Shall we go to Mrs. Yewtree?
Yes, move on. Quickly!
Yes, hello, this is Mrs. Yewtree here on the Oxfordshire-Northamptonshire borders. Second time caller in a row. I wanted to make a comment about Tom and the enterprise known as Kefir. I find it astounding that person can actually be so invested in terms of working with this organisation, Nuffield, and then makes a judgment on the brand and a tasting in the Ambridge tea room, basically puts the nail in the coffin for what could be a very good business. Ambridge is not the market for kefir. Ambridge is not the market for kimchi. Nope. Ambridge is not the market for sauerkraut. Has he heard of Whole Foods? Has he heard of Planet Organic? He's barking up the wrong tree. Anyway, not sure if this will make it into Dumpty Dum this week because I'm a little late to getting around to recording it. But me, for one, would say don't ditch kefir. Just to ditch the audience that you're marketing it to at the moment.
But ditch it as a bloody storyline because it's getting right on my proverbials. I've seen it in Sainsbury's, so I don't see why you wouldn't be able to sell it. But I think she's right. You're not going to be able to pump it out in a rural setting.
Yeah, but you've seen it in Sainsbury's in Oxford.
Yeah, but a rough part of Oxford.
And I've seen it, and I drink it, but I buy it Waitrose. From Sainsbury's in East London. So, you know, when you're talking about in a kind of a fair, where would it, Borchester? My mum said she's seen it in the Sainsbury's in Market Harbour.
Really?
So it's clearly got
there. The posh Midlands Market Harbour, isn't it?
Sort of. Yeah, it is. I'm not sure about... They probably won't put it in the Kettering Sainsbury's, I shouldn't think. Sorry, I'm getting a bit niche now. But I think you're absolutely right, Jane. And I also think, not Jane, Mrs. Yewtree, and I also think that it's another example of the scriptwriters not having a sodding clue, some of them, or just sense being sacrificed for the speediness of a storyline, in that it's another business to, you know, let's take on this new firm of agronomists without actually meeting them or having them present anything or whatever. We'll just do it. And let's bin an entire line based on market research done by seven cross people in the shop by Susan. You know, it's... And the fact that no one's buying it, well, they could not be buying it because you're not marketing it right. And it could be in the wrong audience, and it could be in the wrong place, and it could be at the wrong time, and it could be in the wrong place. Rather than just going, right, that's it, no. You know, it doesn't... You try a lot of things before you bin it, unless you're a massive supermarket. When you're a supermarket, then you do what Helen did, which is why Tom said you're as bad as the supermarkets when he was talking to Helen. But, you know, after all that investment, you wouldn't just chuck it. You'd give it another go somewhere.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's just, they kind of write business a bit, but they're good at big business. No, they're not.
They're good at monkey
business. They don't have to go into so much detail when it's big business, do they? Yeah. But, you know, they could talk about Brian, and Brian just goes, rah, rah, the yields aren't very good. And we all go, oh, dear. Ooh, that sounds nasty. Yes, not very good yields. And none of us really know what the hell he's on about. But that doesn't matter because it's Brian and no one's really going to be affected because he's got pots of money. But little businesses, and when you're talking about how you market as a small business, they seem to be a bit kind of slapdash in the way they
handle it. But isn't that because it's really dull to go into the minutiae of business? And you don't want to...
Well, it's not minutiae, it's just... It's just this sudden plug pulling.
And that is a broader overview, isn't it?
You know.
But he always was going into fermentation, fermented foods, rather than... And kefir was the first one he tried.
I thought you meant Tom was just slowly fermenting. I think he probably is. He's not... Well, I was going to say, he's been without a lady for quite a while now, so he probably is fermenting away. Yes, in the Trouser area.
Oh, dear. Poor Tom. Well, he's like you said, he's going to go to sauerkraut and kimchi and I don't know. But you're not going to sell that in the Ambridge tea room, are you?
No, exactly. Well, that's what she was saying. It's the wrong market for that as well.
Yeah, oh, God, well.
When they still had their shop in Borchester, that would have made more sense, wouldn't it?
Okay.
Or selling it there.
Could you sell it online? I don't know. Mail order? Who knows?
Yes. Oh, it's very good. You should get in touch with them.
Oh, build a website. They need to build a website, don't they? With I don't know, cabbage on it. Or whatever.
And Pip can do their bloody social media, and then she can lecture us about it for 15 minutes for no apparent reason like she did before.
Ah, well. I think that's...
Between giving birth.
I thought we had 5 minutes without Pip's bloody baby there for a minute.
Sorry.
I've forgotten about it. Right, that's the end of the caller. There is no Witherspoon this week. I could have done with his sage insights into Jill's response. I thought...
Maybe he's sulking at the casting. What role did he get? He did point out that the only role available to him... As an American, was Wallace Simpson, which he felt would be a bit of a struggle.
Oh, dear. No, I think he could pull it off, though. He'd need a shave.
I think he could. I was going to say, he might need to lose the beard.
You can...
Which is much the same as what Edward said, I think.
Terrible old Nazi he was. Should we have the adverts now?
He was. Oh, yes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Look what free speech has gotten you, right? And if free speech is going to bring a Hitler to power, are you still going to defend the rights of those people to speak?
If you talk about the things that affect your daily life.
The secret to being a good actor.
I don't really care, actually, whether Britain remains Britain.
His dad was actually murdered in front of him.
Marine Le Pen has changed the Front National.
If it's like kind of like a documentary investigative reporting, serialized true crime, that often gets into questions about the justice system or the media.
In an uncertain world, there's always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to vote.
Good question. Really good question.
And now let's sit back for some social with our veteran social specialist, Mr. Yokel Bear.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Yokel Bear here with the social media roundup for the week. Going to launch straight in because I've got quite a lot to say this week. On the forum, there is a really big post, a really good post, by Fiona Siobhan Powell that's got quite a few comments attached to it, about surrogacy and maybe the Lexi thing and what have you. It's a really good post. It's too long to read out, but it's a really good kind of overview of kind of what the surrogacy might mean, how it might kind of pan out and stuff like that. Miss Mid-City's got a view, though. On that post, she's replied that she thinks the surrogacy, if it happens, will all be fairly neat and tidy, medically and emotionally, with no worries about the legal minefield they're wading through. And what we'll end up with is a gurgling baby who becomes a silent child before becoming a rebellious teen, a playmate for baby Giddy Jack and Pip's as yet unborn offspring. I think you might be that right there if it happens. But we were kind of looking at, you know, on the Facebook, we were talking about, was Roy right to be angry with Ian about, you know, asking Lexi? Jess Icarus said, "I have no idea, because I had to hit the pause button at the point where Ian was starting to talk to Lexi because I was cringing so much and I haven't been able to listen since." Yeah, I think Ian has been incredibly cringy. I totally get that he is desperate for a child, but there were moments where I was just like, oh, God. But anyway, Guy Ladbrook says we should take a more general view of Roy, which is everyone should be angry with him. Whereas Jed Robinson disagreed and said, no, what business is it of Roy's what Lexi does with her body? Yeah, I kind of get that, but I kind of get where Roy's coming from as well. I'm like Brian. I've got a natural instinct to see both sides of the argument. also as well, Meg Edgegoose Cubbly said, ordinarily, I would say no. But he had my sympathy simply because he is the first person to hint at the exploitative nature of surrogacy, which, in my humble opinion, is long overdue. Yeah, I think there's aspects of that that really need to be kind of, you know, explored. I think this actually, you know, I'm unsure about this storyline, but if done well, I think it could be an interesting road to go down. So I don't know. Jury's out with me. However, Sally Newey, I think you might be my poster of the week, Sally, because you said, I'm bored of this storyline. So skip it now and hope Charlie Thomas reappears to cause angst between Ian and Adam.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I am with you, Sally. We want Charlie Thomas. Also, as well, we were talking about, was Tumble Tussock being used by Lexi to soften Roy up? Now, I've got a bit of a theory about Tumble Tussock. I think there's a whole alternative economy going on in Ambridge now. And, you know, I think that Tumble Tussock is rapidly becoming the Bitcoin of Borsetshire. But Sarah Passingham said, do you think Roy will decide that if Lex is going to have a baby, he'll want it to be his baby, marriage, home, baby and the works? Mm-hmm. And also, what is it with all these baby storylines? Well, I don't know, Sarah. Maybe spring's coming. Maybe the sap's rising. Maybe everyone's getting a little bit frisky. I don't know. However, Paul Taylor said he thinks this storyline is actually much better than he thought it was, and points out that the fact that in 2018 you can have access to all kinds of information from your laptop and phone is amazing. And I think, I think the fact that Lexi was doing research is kind of bodes well for this. She's going into this with her eyes open if she does go into it. However, Quentin Bennett simply said on was Lexi softening him up? Softening him up or hardening up? I don't know. I think that's just a big single entendre there, isn't it? So, but we also talked about Pip. We also talked about Pip and David. God, we couldn't avoid it, could we? You know, how are they going to feel when, you know, about everything? But also about the fact that Elizabeth knew about it before them. On that, I think Hannah May said, Lizzie can just say, and what were you doing on that roof? And that closes that conversation. also as well, who else? Oh, yes, Rupert Brun. Oh, my God, Rupert, you put an image in my head this week that I don't want there. He said, I'm looking forward to the scene in the cowshed with Pip mooing as she strains to give birth to the Toby spawn. Oh, David will save the day by tying a rope around its hooves and pulling. Yes, thank you for that, Rupert. Oh, I struggled to get that out of my head. But I think the best bit of this whole story was waiting for Hootie Jill to find out, and I was not disappointed. You know, it was just great because she thinks it's the curse of the Fair Brothers revisiting them. I mean, I think on that, you know, quite a few people were saying about, you know, a little bit disappointed with that. A few people posted about she got over it in one day and were expecting more. Yeah, I kind of was as well. We've also got a post about whether Toby will leave. So go and have a look at that. I personally think he's going to stick around. Now, there is also a, getting serious now, there is also a post on the forum by Purple Pumpkin called Recycled Storylines. And I think this is worth reading, because it's about kind of how the, you know, we seem to be just recycling some of the storylines. It's all kind of familiar from previous things. I think that's a little bit right. And also it got me thinking about where we're at, because I think there's been some criticisms, certainly on the social medias, about the show right now. And I think we're in a bit of a kind of a down period. Now, I want to make it absolutely clear. I'm not saying there is anything wrong with what the scriptwriter's doing. Scriptwriters are doing what they're doing brilliantly. But I think the material they're working with, I'm not quite sure where some things are going. I'm not quite sure where we're at. And there seems to be a lot of storylines that prop up and then just get kind of nixed, and I'm not sure where things are going long term. I don't know how other people feel about this, but I feel this is a bit of a kind of fuzzy period, shall we say. But basically, you know, that's just, I just wonder what people thought on that. Maybe a new editor, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just going to finish by saying the best bit of the week for me was the end of Kafir. Yay, the Kabir's gone. So we've also got a thread about that on Facebook, so go and have a look at that if you want. I think the general consensus is yes, thank God that story died. But, you know, maybe it will come back in a different form or a different yogurt or a different product. I don't know. Anyway, that's the social media roundup for the week. So go and visit us on the forum. Go and have a look at us on the Book of Face. Join in. Tell us what you think about things. That's me done for the week. You've got Millie Bell next week for the social media roundup. Bye.
Bye. Thanks very much. That was a good one this week.
Bye.
It was, yes.
It was.
I am going to put £1 on on the table.
The table.
Now. I'll put that pound down again. And it is a real pound. I'm going to put £1 on Toby and Pip getting together. Again.
Yeah, but when, though? It could be in, like, 15 years' time.
That pound's worth fuck all.
By which time a pound will be a euro... And worth 17 pence.
I did like the idea of Tumble Tussock being the Bitcoin of Ambridge. And now, yeah. I don't want to mention Sunday's episode, but I think that something in the river might be something to do with Tumble Tussock.
No, really?
No, that's going to be something to do with something else. But yeah. Sorry, I'm scratching me. I'm having a good old scratch. I'm forgetting I'm on the radio here. Shall we? Before I embarrass myself further...
Oh, God.
Which is hardly possible. Shall we have Tweet of the Week?
Sitting there with your smashed-up pubis scratching yourself. You're a joy, Robert.
I'll tweet a photo
later.
Yes,
we'll do Tweets of the Week. Oh, please, God. Uncle Beard had Kate saying... I left her some mung beans in the dream catcher I gave her and pranced round the park with scarves in honour of the goddess and got no thanks at all. Yes, it was very much like that. Chris Whimsy Wisdom said, blimey, it's a bit tough on Toby, David evicting him from the property his aunt's money bought. That's very true. Our own Greavesy, a.k.a. Derek Fletcher, said, on the one hand, Lexi, no! On the other hand, think how much it would piss off Roy. I think we're all thinking that. Karen Cunningham said, hoping that the trips to Bulgaria will be both frequent and long. And Tweet of the Week. Short and very sweet, this. Tweet of the Week is from Little Kim, who said, can we keep the baby and abort Pip?
You know, I mean, I've been... I've vacillated with Pip in that, well, yes.
Have you? That's how you ended up with a bruised pubis, no doubt. It's a gift, your bruised pubis. I do hope it carries on.
I think I might change, I might start a Twitter feed at bruised pubis. Oh, hashtag bruised pubis.
My bruised pubis.
But yeah, I've just. She's just started to piss me off again. I think I go like that with lots of people, but yeah, it's just... Oh, God, no! Stop it! Anyway. Yeah.
Pip's pissing you off again.
I don't know.
Why? It's because she's having a baby babies,
sort
do you?
I've changed my mind a little bit about that personally, but other people's babies on soap operas, annoying. But actually, you have to admit... that they've got to keep populating the arches, otherwise it'll just end up with everyone being 106.
Yeah.
And us saying, when are they going to fucking die?
It will be called the Laurels. We'll have the Laurels Omnibus. And now over to the Laurels, and it will just be all of them sitting in bath chairs going, have we had lunch? Put your cardigan on. Pardon? Yes.
Ah, dear. Is that's more or less the end of the show now, isn't it?
It is more or less the end of the show.
How can people help us out?
Yes. Well, they can. Why is the little red light flashing?
Yes.
Oh, that means it is recording.
Jesus.
If you would like to help keep our little show...
Heart attack and a bruised pubis.
And relax. If you... If you would like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
And remember, To get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105. That's 0203 031 3105 to leave a message. You can find Royfield and Lucy at Dumpty Dum on Twitter. That's at Dumpty Dum, all one word. Lucy is at Lucy V. Freeman, and I can be found at Naked Fingers. And my voice is about to go. And on that, dear listener, we bid you farewell.
Adieu.